This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, October 20th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have an in-depth look at the upcoming race for Secretary of State in Illinois. We'll also get a forecast for the weekend from our forecaster, Mike Sola. First, a look at our news. Champaign school officials have until January to submit changes to their plan for meeting educational goals for African-American students. A federal judge says better collaboration with plaintiffs is needed for Unit 4 to comply with its consent decree. AM 580's Jeff Bossert has more.
In a six-hour hearing yesterday, Judge Joe Billiam McDade told Champaign school officials that he didn't receive the roadmap to fulfilling consent decree requirements he was seeking. The judge says the document did show improvements in grade school curriculum and better recruitment of minority staff, but he says the briefing submitted by Unit 4 lacked specific details of how it planned to meet the demands of the court by 2009. Champaign School Superintendent Arthur Culver says the district had been focused on the final target, but needs to submit paperwork outlining some interim steps.
I think we just refine our efforts and continue to, escalate that pace, but I think we will have to put more emphasis on accountability, and as the judge indicated and the court monitor, perhaps we may need to look at some repercussions for things that don't take place as fast as we think they should.
Lead attorney for the plaintiffs, Carol Ashley, says they're communicating with the district but not necessarily collaborating. She says while her group was ready, Unit 4 lagged in its efforts to address areas like attendance and discipline.
They did not accept that challenge, and in fact, they did just the opposite. They gave us the old things that we were used to seeing and nothing fresh that's aimed at really making the changes you need by 2008-09.
The district's revised report must be submitted to the judge by January 15th. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
The Champaign County Board last night looked at photos of damp, moldy wood from last year's mold outbreak inside the county nursing home construction project. Those pictures brought up questions of why county board members hadn't learned about the mold sooner, as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The photos reminded many county board members of the three-month gap last year between the time the mold was first spotted by the county and the time they first learned of it in May. Some had sharp questions for Facilities Committee Chairman Steve Beckett, but Democratic County Board Member Patricia Avery of Champaign aimed her questions at Denny Inman, one of the two county administrators.
I agree. It wasn't Mr. Beckett's job, but I do believe that it was Mr. Inman's job. I know that if we have problems with our budget, Ms. Busey brings that information straight to the board, and we deal with it.
I'm going to stop us right there. Absolutely, totally. And you know why it's inappropriate.
Facilities Chairman Beckett was referring to a clause in the two administrators' contracts shielding them from public embarrassment by the county board. Beckett says he waited to tell the county board about the mold problem because his initial information was too vague and he needed more facts. The mold has since been removed, and now the county has hired lawyers in an effort to get the nursing home contractors to foot the bill. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The county board also voted last night to expand the city-county enterprise zone to include part of the controversial Clearview development northwest of Champaign. The proposal had lost on a tie vote last month. Last night's vote was 16-9. The Atkins Group hopes to attract medical and health care companies to Clearview in 236 acres anchored by new facilities for Christie Clinic and Carl Hospital. But critics say Carl and Christie shouldn't be getting tax breaks because they aren't providing enough care for uninsured patients and those on Medicaid. A fundraiser for Governor Rob Blagojevich has pleaded not guilty to charges of trying to squeeze investment firms seeking state business for kickbacks and of swindling a company out of millions of dollars in loans. FBI agents picked up Tony Rezko at O'Hare Airport yesterday, just hours before he appeared in court. The City of Champaign Township Supervisor, Linda Abernathy, says poverty in the city is on the rise, and that's why the township needs to raise the property tax rate for poor relief. At a town hall meeting last night, she said every fifth citizen in Champaign lives below the poverty line.
I was really serious when I talked about Katrina. It ripped the face off and exposed poverty to the world, and people didn't want to see it. And I think that we've got that kind of poverty in our town, a war on poverty. I think it's just absolutely what we need.
14 aid organizations at the meeting supported Abernathy's efforts. Keynote speaker and U of I professor James Anderson said the government should be as willing to confront poverty as it does the war in Iraq. To help the poor in the area, the Champaign, or City of Champaign Township wants to increase the township's property tax rate. Abernathy says for owners of a $150,000 house, it would mean an additional $22 a year. Voters will be asked to approve that increase in next month's election. Emergency crews responded yesterday to an oil spill that could have created a serious mess had it actually happened.
Oh no, the dye has been sighted at Locust and John, so it's headed for the boneyard. So it's moving, so I think we should stick with it a little bit.
The director of the University of Illinois Utilities, Keith Erickson, ordered firefighters to follow a trail of green dye that seeped from Abbott Power Plant. Downstream from the plant, fire crews peered into storm sewers to monitor the dye. It was part of an annual preparedness drill that Erickson says keeps crews trained in a number of skills.
Communications and protocols and accuracy of our maps and how different roles of different people interacted here. And as far as we can tell, everybody is doing what they're supposed to, the plan. We have a written plan. That written plan has been followed. And we're looking at, and really what you might say is the finer points of the drill.
In 2002, Abbott was the scene of an ammonia spill that reached the saline branch, but Erickson says that was a unique situation that was covered under different EPA regulations. Still, he says that incident also gave emergency crews vital experience in handling accidental releases. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The conviction of former Illinois Governor George Ryan on various charges related to the licenses for bribe scandal cast a shadow on this year's race for Secretary of State. Whether or not a culture of corruption still exists in the Secretary of State's office is a main issue in this year's race between incumbent Democrat Jesse White and his Republican challenger, Dan Rutherford. As Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky explains, the candidates also have different ideas about how best to serve Illinois residents who depend on that office.
At the age of 72, Jesse White can still do handstands. He'll prove it, too, at performances of the tumbling team bearing his name. It is with this same sort of vigor that White says he's made changes during his two terms as Secretary of State. A former professional baseball player, legislator, and later Cook County Recorder of Deeds, White took over the office from George Ryan in 1999, just as news was breaking that some of Ryan's employees shook down driver's license applicants for campaign contributions.
I committed myself early on that I was going to run the office like it was a business, restore some integrity to it, and put it in a posture by which the people could be proud. I established a policy then that my employees will not be asked to buy fundraising tickets, to sell fundraising tickets, or do political work.
White also says he brought on an inspector general to make sure the office follows ethics laws. He says that inspector helped uncover a recent case of a Secretary of State employee falsifying time cards that led to the man's conviction. State Senator Dan Rutherford sees it differently. The 50-year-old Pontiac Republican says, like Ryan, White has also wrongly taken advantage of the position's hiring perks. First, Rutherford's critical that the wives of two of White's top advisors got hired by the office for jobs not advertised to the public. White claims the women were brought in hastily to do temporary work, that the jobs don't offer health benefits and would have otherwise been hard to fill, and that he was unaware of the situation until after the hirings occurred. Despite White's denial, Rutherford alleges it breaks a state hiring law and has forwarded the matter to the Illinois Attorney General.
So either Jesse White is knowledgeable of this illegal activity, or he's asleep at the wheel about it.
Rutherford also points out that several of White's relatives got jobs in the office and calls it fishy that White's daughter, Glenna, who was already working there, got a $70,000 salary bump after her dad became boss.
When he has his daughter that he gave a 300% increase to, when he has his grandson working there, when he has his nieces and nephews all working in at the government taxpayer's expense, and he is the one that determines how much their increases are and their transfers, it's nepotism.
White says his daughter deserved the promotions, given that when he took office, Glenna White was the only certified accountant on staff in her division. And as for other family members who got jobs, White says they were given no preferential treatment. He says it would be wrong for him to interfere with their hirings just because they're family.
My family members, I didn't know about them being on board until a couple months later. Hey, I'm working for you. I said, you know what? Where are you working? So then that came as a surprise.
White says Rutherford is running a negative campaign because he's behind in the polls. He says what voters should focus on is the host of accomplishments he's made as Secretary of State. He boasts that since taking office, he's made roads safer by toughening DUI laws. White also says on his watch, Illinois' organ donor registry expanded. On the services side, he says waiting time at driver's license facilities is down.
And so I'm looking forward to running on my record with the hope that I will be successful in being able to move the office forward in the future, because I do have some plans.
But Dan Rutherford, pointing out that he was just 4 years old when Jesse White founded his tumbling team, says White's stuck in the past. He says it's arcane that businesses need to send in filings by paper and fax instead of over the internet. Rutherford's a top executive at the Fortune 500 company ServiceMaster and says he'll bring his business experience to take the office to the 21st century. He also wants to allow people to schedule appointments for driver services. Rutherford says he's confident these ideas will help him win.
Yes, Jesse may be the Goliath of the Democratic Party, but he is about to meet David. And David is Dan Rutherford.
Rutherford has his work cut out for him. Jesse White was the top vote getter in Illinois 4 years ago, taking all 102 counties. Another candidate, the Green Party's Karen Young, is also running. She currently lives in New York, but says she'll move back to Illinois if she wins. Elections officials say Young's lack of residency in Illinois could disqualify her. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Well, unfortunately, we can expect some rain this weekend. Our forecast from AM580's Mike Sola calls for a partly sunny day today, though, across the two states. Highs ranging from 52 in northern Illinois today to around 60 in the far south. Tonight, in northern and central Illinois, mostly cloudy, elsewhere partly cloudy. Lows ranging from 36 in eastern Indiana to 48 in southwest Illinois. Tomorrow, in the south, it will be partly sunny still. Elsewhere, though, mostly cloudy, showers arriving in northwest Illinois and spreading across northern sections and central Illinois in the afternoon. Tomorrow's highs ranging from around 50 in northwest Illinois to 67 in the far south. For Sunday, in northern Illinois, cloudy, areas of snow or snow showers. Elsewhere, clouds and widely scattered showers least numerous in the south. And Sunday's temperatures in the 40s in the north and central sections and 50s in the south. This has been the AM580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, October 20th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM580 News.